You're listening to an encore presentation of The Faith-Filled Physician. We are not taking calls at this time.
This is The Faith-Filled Physician here on Catholic Radio Indy. This program looks at and discusses current medically related topics that are of interest to Catholics today. We'll look at them from a medical, an ethical, and yes, a Catholic point of view. Now, here's today's edition of The Faith-Filled Physician. Good afternoon and welcome to The Faith-Filled Physician here on Catholic Radio Indy. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley. Am I on?
You are on.
I don't feel like I'm on. I can hear it in the room, but not through my speaker. Well, I'll just keep speaking. Can you hear me? You can hear me. Can't hear me, I guess.
Oh, all right.
Well, we have Father Ryan McCarthy with us today. He is the chaplain for the Medical Association here in Indianapolis. He is also a doctor, there you go, of moral theology. And that's why, listeners, when you have heard this program before, he is he's so well-versed on not only biological but physiological things we talk about here on The Faith-Filled Physician. I'm going to toss the number out. We have a very interesting topic today, one that is near and dear to my heart, and I think you will find very interesting. We're talking about lactation. We're talking about breastfeeding today. 317-870-8400. 317-870-8400. We have several people in studio with us today who are going to discuss this topic with us. We have Lisa Leahy. She is a nurse and a professional lactation consultant, and she's in private practice. Welcome. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you for having me.
We also will have visiting with us a mother of twins. There now I can really hear me. Carissa Vanderholst is a mother of twins and also breastfed those twins, which we've always heard is difficult at best. We also will have joining us via the phone, we have Michelle Fainley, and she is also a nurse and a lactation consultant. So the studio is full.
Have a whole bunch of folks here. It looks kind of like one of our share-a-thons here. We've got so many people, but that's a good thing because we've got a lot of information that we want to share with you and a lot of experts to share it with us.
You know, before we even get started, I think we ought to do a couple things. One, we ought to open with a prayer. Father, open with a prayer. And we do have a couple of announcements
to make. We do.
But let's open with a prayer.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We ask God that in all things we might bring him honor and glory. As we say, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You know, Jim, I think we ought to mention, because this is one of the last opportunities we have for a live broadcast to get the word out. But coming up next week is a big, big deal for us.
No, we have to kind of caution people a little bit. If you're listening on Thursday afternoon, this announcement will make sense. We want you to listen to it carefully and respond to it right away. This same program is heard on Saturday afternoons for the next couple of weeks. So if it's after September 13th, you can ignore this. But if it's before September 13th, listen carefully. Our Catholic Radio annual dinner is coming up Tuesday, September 13th.
Yes.
Is that right? September 13th. And it's at the Northside Knights of Columbus. We've really got a lot of stuff going on. Every year we have a silent auction and a live auction. And this year, both the live and silent auction are getting so many items. Every year we say, oh, we had so many, we got to cut it back. But the people who were there last year want to come back, and they're all donating things and everything. So we're going to have a great silent auction and a great dinner. And Father John Hollowell
will be
our speaker, and MJ Crowder will be our MC. So it's going to be a great event. It'll be a lot of fun. It's next Tuesday evening. Doors open up at 5:30 if that's too early for you. Dinner doesn't start till 7. So anytime between 5:30 and 7, you can come in, browse around. There'll be a reception, get some silent auction items going and things like that. Dinner will be right about 7 o'clock. So Hope you can make it. You can get tickets by calling us here at the station at 317-870-8400, or you can go online and buy the tickets yourself at catholicradioindy.org.
You know, Father, I read this morning, I think it was in the Criterion, but I'd like you to give a little bit more information about it. I remember Casey Rising telling us about it last year, and this is the first time I heard about the White Mass coming up this year. It's just coming up in a couple weeks.
It is. It's the fourth annual year we've done it. It's been done in different dioceses for a long period of time, and it's a Mass to celebrate the role that individual Catholics, doctors, nurses, other healthcare workers, and also the church play in medicine and the world of health in the state, particularly in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. The Archbishop will be celebrating that Mass, and Dr. John Brehany will be talking at the Mass, the reception after the Mass. And so details are online at indycathmed.org, and tickets are available, and we have a generous donor who sets off a chunk of money to pay for any medical students who want to attend.
Oh, how so wonderful.
We prefer that they let us know they're coming just for the RSVP value, but their tickets are paid for.
And this is for any medical professional, anybody?
Yeah, doctors, nurses, any healthcare professionals, welcome to come attend. The bishop gives a blessing, says the Mass, gives a blessing, and then there's a beautiful reception afterwards.
Wonderful. And again, where is it?
The cathedral.
The cathedral. Okay. And dinner at the Catholic Center after?
Right across the street.
How wonderful.
And, you know, this is the first for this program. Since we did the last Faith in Action program, we have another radio station on the air. Catholic Radio is now being heard in Anderson, Indiana at 98.3. So if you live in or work in Indy and live in Anderson or vice versa, you can get it all the way up through Anderson now at 98.3 as you get near Anderson. And as I tell people, the key to it all is the bunny. A large bunny.
You're right.
If you've ever driven
the
up
Nestle bunny.
The Nestle bunny. Yeah. If you've ever driven up 69 North, you know the one, about 40 feet tall. I don't know.
Yeah.
Scare the dickens out of a kid, I think. But as you're driving north, you can get Noblesville to just about that far. Noblesville starts to get pretty shaky. The Noblesville station gets shaky about that point. Then switch over to 98.3, loud and clear all the way through Anderson.
You know, we're going to talk today about breastfeeding, lactation, breastfeeding. If you have any questions at all, or maybe you want to add a comment, give us a call here, 317-870-8400, 317-870-8400. And as always, you can either leave your question with Patty and she will bring it into the studio, or we can take you live on the air here and you can offer the question to Father or our lactation specialist here. We have Lisa Leahy, who is a nurse and a professional lactation consultant. Also, we have Michelle Fainley
on the phone
with us. And she is also a nurse and lactation specialist. And then Carissa Vanderholst. Everybody is impressive, but you are most impressive to me. Because Father was telling me that not only are you a mother of twins, but you breastfed your twins.
Yes.
Yeah. Were you encouraged? Because I think that, I think that's huge, is to have people who support you and are completely okay with not only family, but in-laws and extended family who are okay with you breastfeeding around them. So did you have that support system?
I did have that support system, and I actually had Lisa as a backup in case it was different than feeding my other singletons.
So did you do this at the same time? Did you often breastfeed them at the same time, or was it one at a time?
I definitely prefer one at a time. Unless, MJ, you have a cow cape or other thing to donate, I prefer to do it one at a time. Now that they're getting older, they insist to nurse at the same time.
And how old are they?
They're 20 months old.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you. Okay, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some myths, maybe, and some misunderstood conceptions or ideas. We do have a caller on the line.
No, this is our other guest.
Oh, our other guest on the line. Okay.
All right, so let's jump into the phone here and see what we can do here. All right, Michelle, are you with us?
I am.
Oh, very good. Well, you're on the air here on Catholic Radio right now. I'm glad you could join us.
Well, thanks so much for having me all the way from Ohio.
All the way from Ohio. God bless you. Okay, so you are also a lactation specialist and consultant, right?
I was a labor and delivery nurse for 11 years, and I was a lactation consultant. I currently left my certification left, but I still help a lot of family and friends because I did it at the hospital so many years, and I'm currently now working as a school nurse. So
wonderful. Well, you know, I hear often I'm a little bit past my breastfeeding days, but I had 5 children and breastfed all of them. But it seems now more common when my kids talk about their friends who are having children that almost always they get referred to a lactation specialist.
Yes, in the hospitals, they do a really nice job now of, we would see everyone that we could. As long as they wanted us to come in, we would come into their room and be able to just go over just really the basics of 101, even if they breastfed, no matter if they had 1 child or they had 10, we would still go over the basics of breastfeeding with them and make sure they were doing okay, because every baby is different. So being able to, you know, give moms that support they need, and really help them to, if they want to breastfeed, that's, you know, our job to help them as much as we can.
You know, I wonder, Lisa, if you could talk to this for a second. When I was delivering my first child, I remember a nurse coming in and saying, and I'll help you when we, and I thought, you know, this is the most natural thing in the world. I am sure that I won't have trouble with it. I'm sure that, but you know what, just right as rain, it was not as easy. I mean, the second child latched on quickly and wonderfully, but the first child, I don't know whether it was me, whether I was, or whether it was the baby, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all. So do you run into that a lot, where maybe the baby isn't as good a nurser, doesn't latch on as well, or maybe the technique, the mother doesn't have the technique down well?
Sure. I think that it definitely starts with education. So I do find that these days moms are so savvy with attending prenatal breastfeeding classes and childbirth classes, and they may have a doula who has mentioned breastfeeding, and we're seeing a generation who are breastfed themselves. So your daughters, you know, who are having babies are breastfed. So we learn breastfeeding by watching others, and that's something that we've often lost in our culture. So I think, you know, when we talk about 20 and 30 years ago, moms didn't see their sisters or their aunts or their grandmas breastfeeding. And so that starts the learning curve way down. And so mom has to really figure out, how do I hold this baby? How do I know the baby's getting enough milk? She has a lot of questions. And sometimes the baby teaches her. You know, the baby is designed to come out and be born ready to breastfeed. And so sometimes it is the mom who's like, hey, I need some extra help and pointers. And that's really just what Michelle was talking about. We are lucky that we have lactation consultants at the hospital and after they go home from the hospital now, compared to 20, 30 years ago. It's changed a ton since I first became a lactation consultant.
Oh, sure. 317-870-8400. 317-870-8400. It's a live call in today, kind of unusual for us here at Catholic Radio. We do it on the first Thursday of every month. You know, what would you say to, and I'll offer this either to Michelle or maybe Carissa, you might have even some advice for a new mom. What do you say to moms, because this is very frustrating for me to hear, but I'm a little bit removed, so to moms who say, my milk dried up, or I just couldn't breastfeed, but I do hear a lot, I didn't have enough milk. I didn't have enough milk. What do you say to that? What kind of encouragement can you give, or what would you suggest?
As a lactation consultant, I encourage them when I hear that concern, whether that's expressed in like a prenatal class or when I meet them, and they actually do have struggles with their supply, that oftentimes it's the mismanagement or the miseducation or the myths around breastfeeding that might contribute to that. So we can address those concerns. It's actually physically rare for most moms to not make enough milk for their baby. You know, we see the majority of moms do very, very well. I would say, yeah, 10, to 15% of the time we might see a low milk supply with the mom. That might be hormonal issues such as polycystic ovarian syndrome or a thyroid disorder that we need to dig a little bit deeper on the medical side to figure out how can we help her. Sometimes it's just not feeding frequently enough. So when we say what truly makes milk, it is the baby latching on after delivery to take advantage of the hormones oxytocin and prolactin. And to keep those hormones there, it is a use it or lose it principle. So the more that a baby breastfeeds, the more that that mom will make milk. And just like Carissa, her body knew that she was having twins. And if she's feeding two babies at once, her body responds to that demand, and she can definitely make enough milk for twins. And I see a lot of twin moms these days be very successful, and they're making upwards of 45, 65 ounces of milk per day.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
And that's what we're all about right here on Catholic Radio Indy, spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Kent Blanford. Join me every Saturday and Sunday morning at 10 for Catholic Jukebox Indiana, an hour of contemporary music with a Catholic message. That's Catholic Jukebox Indiana, Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
The Great Lakes Gabriel Project is an ever-growing Christian-based network of church volunteers standing together in their commitment to offer assistance to women and families facing difficult or unplanned pregnancies.
I'm Eileen Hartman with Great Lakes Gabriel Project. If you're interested in volunteering to help this life-affirming effort, please go to our website, goangels.org, for more information.
Healing rain. You're listening to an encore presentation of The Faith-Filled Physician on Catholic Radio Indy. We are not taking calls at this time.
Welcome back to The Faith-Filled Physician. We're here live talking with Father Ryan McCarthy. He's the chaplain for the Catholic Medical Association. He's also a doctor of moral theology. We have Lisa Leahy. She is a nurse and professional lactation consultant in private practice, although she worked at St. Francis for a time and another hospital.
St. Vincent's, and community.
So you've been around. We also have on the phone with us Michelle Fainley on the phone, and she is also a nurse and a lactation consultant. And then we have Carissa Vanderholst, a mother of twins. I think you have, is it five? How many children do you have? Five children. God bless you. And a nursing mother of twins. And we were chatting a little bit off air. We do have a question that came in, and let's address this question. We have a lot to get to today, so let me toss out the number one more time. 317-870-8400. 317-870-8400. The question was, what is the perfect or ideal time to start weaning? And what are top three ideas on how to do it? So that's the question. Who wants to tackle that? That is a great question. I've got Carissa over here giggling because if you've had, I mean, so the three women here in the studio have all breastfed and we've all been through this. And that's a great question because it's kind of tricky. So what is a good time? So I guess the first question is how long should you breastfeed, or could you? Should, I don't think is a good word. Is a good time to breastfeed, and then give us three ideas on weaning.
Okay, well, As far as breastfeeding time, it's going to be different for every mother and what her goal is. But if we look at the WHO guidelines or the AAP guidelines from the American Academy of Pediatrics, we would say 6 months of exclusive breastfeeding, and then we would start complementary foods and meals and continue breastfeeding for 12 months and beyond. And we know that there is a lot of value in long-term breastfeeding. So the child is benefiting at 1 year, at 2 years, at 3 years, and that we often see that that might be even a time that many children would wean naturally if we left it to nature, if we left it to how we were designed. But I think it's a goal that's different for every mom. And so we say for weaning, the most important thing, if a mom is going to stop probably before the 1 year mark, she should do that slowly because she's making a lot of milk, and a rapid weaning can cause her a lot of difficulty pain-wise or plugged milk ducts, mastitis. So she's going to want to avoid those issues. So starting slowly and replacing those feedings with another milk, if it's before the 1 year mark, if it's after their first birthday, then they can have another milk like cow's milk, coconut milk, hemp milk, different things that we can use. And the baby is, you know, that the child at the 1 year mark is usually taking foods. I think for a lot of people, when they have been breastfeeding long term, and Carissa shared that she's nursing twins for 20 months and here she is, you know, at that time, this is such an emotional bonding time for the toddler. And people say, well, why are you still breastfeeding at 20 months? And there's value in that milk for sure. There's still the immunities, those things are there. But if you ask Carissa, I bet what she likes about breastfeeding, it's that quiet time.
Amen. Amen. You know, Chris, I wonder if you would talk to that for just a moment, because it's hard to tell someone who's pregnant and hasn't had their first child yet to convey the feeling that you have. To me, it was one of the best feelings I ever had. Not only the close emotional bond, but just the feeling of breastfeeding your child, to me, is really next to none. Talk to that a little bit about, because there are a lot of women out there who say, bottle, it's so easy, but you always have the right amount, it's always the right temperature, it's always there. Talk to that a little bit, Carissa.
Yeah, this is one of the longest times I've actually gone breastfeeding because it is so easy. Like, it's so much easier to just nurse them than try to hold two babies and make them something to eat. So I think that it's great. It's great, especially to have that moment with each of the babies when you feel like you've divided your time all along with twins. It's maybe more of a consolation for the mother than the baby to have that moment. But also, I'm taking notes here on how to wean the babies because I'm overwhelmed by it, and I don't know how to wean twins. So if you want to add that as number four, Lisa, that'd be great.
But, I mean, have you found with the other ones, though, that there I found this, that there was kind of a natural time. Of course, I nursed a little bit longer. It was three and a half years. But there was a natural, I got pregnant. So I naturally got a little bit sore, and I was able to tell my daughter, who just got married, as a matter of fact, we have to save the milk for the next baby. And she was old enough at 3 years old to understand and be excited for the birth of the new one coming. So it was like, oh, we'll save it for the next one. So it was kind of like that. I mean, but I don't know. You know, this is a good question. Does your body, so let's say you're nursing 20 months and you get pregnant. Does your milk, is there a time besides, of course, your breast getting a little bit tender, maybe again, does that affect, does pregnancy affect your milk supply? Will you naturally diminish, will your supply diminish a bit?
Typically, yes. Mom will have a hormonal dip in the milk supply, and her milk will switch back over to colostrum, the first milk. And so sometimes the baby who, or the older child who was nursing says, hey, wait a minute, there's okay. less, and it's changed taste. And maybe that causes them to not be as engaged with the breastfeeding. And then you mentioned the soreness. So that sometimes is a cardinal sign for the mom to say, hey, maybe something's happening here. I may be pregnant because my nipples are sore with the baby feeding again. And so that sometimes is a reason for mom to want to wean. But I think when it comes to like maybe the top ideas for weaning an older child or any child who's breastfeeding, is replacing those feedings with good nutrition. So, you know, talking to the lactation consultant or the pediatrician about ways to do that, and replacing that time. So I know with my older children who nursed 2 and 3 years that it was like, okay, we're going to count to 10. You can do this for 10 seconds. And that would satisfy them just enough without me outright denying them. And then we were able to move, you know, past that, replace it with a back rub, reading a book, you know, different things like that. And an older child, we can reason with a little bit more, just like you did with your daughter.
Sure. And I think, at least I found with mine, that sometimes as they got older, it was a comfort thing. It was when they fell down and skinned their knee and they came crying, and that was a comfort thing for them, you know, because my children didn't have pacifiers or didn't, so that wasn't available. 317-870-8400, 317-870-8400. Father, you haven't chimed in.
I haven't done a lot of breastfeeding. And yeah, but to be honest with you, there, I mean, I think more than ethical issues, because I guess this should be a good point to make, which I'd love Lisa and Michelle to chime in on. There are preferred periods of breastfeeding that they say the breast is best and nutrition is going to be best and best fit for your child from the mother herself, but also there's not a lot of moral weight in this. In other words, to the best of your ability, you do what you can for your children, and it's part of the vocation of a mother who can and who is given kind of both the duty but also a privilege, if her life allows it, to nurse her child. But also there's mothers who struggle, and it's not so easy. There's mothers who have to go back to work, and that's always a challenge. There's mothers who get exhausted because they've got other children running around, and breastfeeding is a tax on the body. And so I guess I'd like to hear kind of Michelle and Lisa and Krista all kind of pipe into finding that balance and how women can find that balance, and also how to deal with a lot of mothers feel shame or guilt if they can't breastfeed, and then they also feel shame or guilt when they have to quit. And even if it's the best thing in the world for them to quit, they feel like they failed as a mother. And there's no moral weight to that. I guess I can tell you as a moral theologian, you can't give what you don't have, and if your body's not producing it, you can't give it. There's no failure there. There's no moral fault or culpability. But there is a lot of emotional issues around that, so I'd like to hear all three of you guys kind of chime into how to best deal with those things. And then maybe everyone loves stories, so maybe anecdotes, to the best of your ability where you can remain somewhat anonymous. I think the most ideal weaning story that you've heard and kind of the least ideal weaning story that you've heard maybe might also amuse the listeners a little bit.
Michelle, did you hear all of that?
Sure, yes. So, well, you know, I first want to say to all the listeners, if you're out there and you couldn't breastfeed, like Father said, you're not any less of a woman or any type of failure. And I think sometimes we can get that message can be sent across that if unless you breastfeed, and this is the only breast is best and only breast, and anyone else, you know, it's just like women who can't have a vaginal delivery, they have a C-section, and they feel like they're a failure because they feel our bodies fail them as women. But that's not the truth. We have to remember that, you know, God has given this as a gift, but there are some women that it just does not work out, and they are not any less women or a bad mother because they couldn't breastfeed. And, you know, we always encouraged our patients that they couldn't breastfeed to try to pump, and, you know, if they have to return to work, I know it's hard to pump as a, you know, working mom, especially being a nurse. Sometimes we'd be pumping in the bathroom and you'd only have, you know, 10 minutes, and they'd be calling you on the phone and say, oh, I've got a patient for you, you know, and you might not even get enough time to pump in the day, and then your supply diminishes and things get complicated. So we don't want anyone to ever feel guilty, but you do, you know, to try your best to do what you can, and to you may be able to do a little mix. Maybe you have to give formula while you're away, but maybe you can breastfeed at night. So you can try to do a little variation. It doesn't have to be 100% breastfeeding all the time. I was lucky. I breastfed all four of my children, and I just actually weaned my 3-year-old here just a few months ago, and And I would say for a weaning story, for me the best way was my children were all 2 and 3 when they weaned, so they became my husband's little friend for a few days here. So especially at night, I would say, you know, it's your job to take care of them at night when they're rolling over and asking to nurse at night. And that really seemed to help out a lot, that if they were with my husband in the evening and he would put them to bed for me, then they would know Dad didn't have any. So they would fall asleep naturally. And after a few nights, it would, you know, it was always difficult because they would ask. They still would ask for days and days and days later, can I, if they could nurse. And so, but they soon learned that there wasn't. I would just tell them, you know, there's no more milk left, or the milk was for the new baby that if I was expecting. And like everyone has said previously, you know, they get used to, they start to understand, they can reason. And that's another easy, you know, simple weaning. And I know it's hard for moms. I've had, like I would say, worst weaning story would be moms who had to wean abruptly because they found out. I had a friend who had breast cancer, a friend that their baby had a disorder where they couldn't metabolize the milk, and they had to abruptly breastfeed. So they kind of felt like that was ripped away from them as a mother, and it's difficult for the child. And those type of situations, you know, happen too. So if, you know, we, as Lisa said, you know, slow weaning, if that's a possibility, is always the best, a gradual weaning. But sometimes there are situations, you know, moms have all kind of health problems sometimes. They might have to go in for a gallbladder surgery or something, and they may not be able to breastfeed and all these type of things. So those are difficult situations, but slow weaning is best. And always remember that, you know, you try your best as your mom, as a mom, and there's many opportunities to be a great mom throughout your life, and breastfeeding doesn't determine if you're a great mom or a successful mom.
So true, so true. Then Michelle Fainley is a nurse and lactation consultant that's joining us via the phone. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back for more stories.
Now, Michelle won't be able to hear us in our conversation here during the break, but Michelle, we will be right back with you in just a moment as well.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor, tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Most of us like to keep up on what's going on in the world and try to catch a little news each day. Did you know that you can catch the very latest Catholic news right on our website? We have news from Rome, from around the world, and here at home, updated every day so you always know what's going on from a Catholic perspective. Check it out. Go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and look for the Catholic news headlines. There's always something new at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
As you know, parts of Texas are experiencing incredible devastation from Hurricane Harvey and the after effects. There's unbelievable flooding and destruction. Here at Catholic Radio Indy, we'd like to make it easy for you to help our brothers and sisters in Texas. Just go to our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, and click on the Texas Relief button. It's a way to put our faith into action in our everyday lives. Our website again is CatholicRadioIndy.org. Can you help today?
Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Healing rain.
You're listening to an encore presentation of The Faith-Filled Physician on Catholic Radio Indy. We are not taking calls at this time.
Welcome back to The Faith-Filled Physician. It's a live call-in today. First Thursday of the month, we have Father McCarthy with us, and he brings a different doctor and a different subject every month. This month, we're talking about lactation. We're talking about breastfeeding. And we have Lisa Leahy, who's a nurse and professional lactation consultant in private practice, visiting with us on the phone is Michelle Fainley. And then we also have Carissa Vanderholst, who's our professional.
She's the professional breastfeeder.
She's the professional breastfeeder. She is breastfeeding 20-month-old twins, and she has 5 children. God bless you. She looks normal, like a normal person.
Is this kind of a cyclical thing? As I was growing up, you know, maybe breastfeeding was always going on, and I just didn't pay any attention, whatever. But it seemed like when we were first married, and this was 50 years ago, that formula was the big thing. And maybe breastfeeding was the exception. And occasionally you'd run across somebody who was doing it, but formula was the thing. And nowadays it seems like maybe it's swinging back the other way.
I hope it's back in vogue. You think it's back in vogue?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, good.
When we look at the statistics, just here in Indiana, about 82% of moms are initiating breastfeeding, and at the hospitals that I worked at, it's much higher. And we have Catholics to thank for that. So La Leche League was really instrumental in bringing back that resurgence. And I know for me, that's really where I got my information as a young mom and a young nurse. I knew a little bit about breastfeeding, but it was really through La Leche League that I embraced a lot of the lifestyle that I wanted for my family.
You know, Sharon Typen, when I was breastfeeding my, I think it was second, either first or second, I think it actually it was Anna, she gave me a little Madonna sitting, and she's breastfeeding our Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's the only one I've ever seen. It's a little, it's about a 6-inch high, beautiful little statue, and she's breastfeeding our Lord. Well, obviously she did, but you just don't see very many depictions of that. And I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. It's such a wonderful, as I said, I don't know whether I said this off air, on air, but for me, top of the list, best, most wonderful time of my life, breastfeeding my babies. Loved, loved, loved it. Besides, you really, Father, you kind of mentioned this, that there's no real ethical or moral weight, you know, given one way or the other here, but...
Well, you always want to do what's best for your children, but you also have to do what's best for you. Like, for instance, I often emphasize to husbands and wives that for a husband, his wife is more important than anyone else other than God in his life, and for a wife, her husband is more important, including the children.
Yeah.
And that can actually be difficult for some people to remember, because children become the focus of their attention.
Sure.
Children take up most of their time. But vocationally, they're called to marriage, and the fruit of the good marriage is the children. And if you don't spend the time fostering your marriage and your relationship with one another, then that more adversely affects your children than if you spent all your time with your children. There's nothing, in fact, we know this from every statistic that's ever been done, there's nothing more traumatic to children than the divorce of parents. Actually, death of parents is less traumatic psychologically to children than when their parents divorce.
Sure.
So, you know, one of the things that often comes up in breastfeeding is kind of the importance of remembering there is a balance. And although much of your life and a good portion of your body and your nutrition is going towards the children, that it's important also for husbands and wives to continue to foster a relationship with one another, and that wives need to make their husbands a priority and husbands need to make their wives a priority.
You know, Carissa, you might want to speak to this for a second, but one thing that I loved about breastfeeding was that it was a time that I could sit down and, well, you always pour yourself, you know, something. For me, it was a giant cup of water because I love water. But it was a time that you had to sit down and in the rocking chair, quiet time for you and the baby. So it wasn't the hustle and bustle of, it was like, mommy has to nurse, mommy's nursing. So it was kind of like, this is my time. Do you get any of that? I know you've got a busy household, but do you have that opportunity?
On occasion. On the weekend when my husband's home. Twins adds a whole new dimension to quiet time.
So give us a little bit of encouragement for women that are, because twins are really an insurgence. I mean, uptick. My grandson's class had, I think his soccer team has like 4 or 5 sets of twins. Wow. Phenomenal. So give us a little bit of encouragement about breastfeeding twins, because that was almost, back in the day, was like, well, I'm too old, couldn't possibly breastfeed. But you've had great supply, and they're 20 months older, and you're still breastfeeding.
Yeah, I think that I gave myself the grace to quit when I wanted to. I decided to take it 3 months at a time from the beginning. I said I would do this for 3 months, 3 more months, 3 more months. And like I said, had someone on call if I needed help in the beginning. But I think that it's been just a reminder to me of God's design and how He designed my body to feed my babies.
That's perfect. But but the wonderful thing is you did give yourself permission to stop. So it was like, I'm going to do it. But there was an end. That, you know, the end is in sight if need be. And you've renewed the lease 7 times. So so God bless you for that. Michelle Fainley is joining us on the radio, on the phone. God bless you, Michelle. Do you have you were telling us a little bit about your story. Does anybody else have a story of weaning that was a wonderful story, or a story that didn't go so well, maybe to caution our listeners? And I want to toss out the number one more time, 317-870-8400. 317-870-8400.
Well, I love what Father said, that, you know, he recognized that it can be difficult. And I definitely see more difficult, complex feeding issues because that's my specialty. And a lot of people don't call me if things are going great. They're going great. So they don't come to a support group. They don't come to a lactation consultant in private practice. So there's value in any milk. And I always praise mom's efforts. You made it 1 week. You made it 1 month. You made it 1 year. Whatever milk you're giving still has value. And we can use formula if we need to or want to make that easier on us, whether we're going back to work or we have a baby who has medical issues or isn't gaining the way that we would like for them to be. And I would say to that mom, you know, it is a really stressful time. And so that's where she can draw on her family and friends to help provide extra support so that either she can focus her time with the baby who's struggling, or, you know, reaching out to a professional to help her through those complex feeding issues. So we definitely recognize that there can be some complex issues. And I think for the mom, we have to listen to her story. And for the mom who planned on breastfeeding, when she has to wean and it wasn't her ideal situation, she is grieving that process. And so oftentimes, you know, as a Catholic, I can share my faith and I pray for my patients and just say, you know, God, help me to see what I need to see, or help me to have the right words with this mom, because sometimes it is very emotional, both for her, for me. What do I do next? What are the next steps? What do I say to her? So as a Catholic, that's one of the best things about my job as a nurse and a lactation consultant, is that I can share my faith openly with my patients. And for all of us that work as medical providers, you know, there is sometimes what we call compassion care burnout. And it's tough for nurses and doctors who are seeing difficult cases. And so, you know, how do we deal with that as professionals? And I think our faith, you know, really comes into that too. And so when you can share that with your patients, that's really sometimes helpful to just listen to their story, to help them, you know, in any way that you can, with either another story like, hey, you're not the first person that I've heard this. You know, that's common. That's normal. It's okay. We can give formula. We can go back to work. We can do these things. So giving her realistic steps, but sometimes just giving her permission to say, like, you're still going to be a great mom. You're still going to work past this. And a lot of times she just needs somebody to share that story with.
317-870-8400. 317-870-8400. Michelle Fainley is joining us via phone. You know, I had this question. I experienced it with every child, but I don't know if it's with every breastfeeding situation, but does every mother go through a period of pain in breastfeeding, or is that sometimes a symptom of just the child not completely taking, you know, the whole nipple into the mouth, the whole areola into the mouth? Is it a given that all breastfeeding mothers are going to experience some pain? And if that's true, what do you do for it? What do you suggest in this day and age? Michelle, do you have an idea? Is that 100% every mom who breastfeeds is going to go through a period of discomfort?
Well, I usually saw, especially in the first-time mom. I remember when I first became a lactation consultant, before I nursed myself, I would always tell the moms, if you have the right latch, it shouldn't hurt. And then I had my first baby, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this hurts so much.
Yeah. I hate to say the word excruciating, but it was excruciating.
And then like 3 days later, all of a sudden I put the baby on and I'm like, oh, it doesn't hurt anymore. So your body is not quite, it takes a little getting used to. So especially the first time, it was much more painful initially, but usually especially if you're breastfeeding continually and going into the next child, it was less with other children, or part of it is you're probably a little bit used to it and know what to expect. But there are women that do have problems with latch, and they can get a blister on their nipple or that type of thing. So there can be problems with improper latch that can cause more increased pain, but it is normal to experience some type of discomfort, especially in those first few days of breastfeeding. So, and I know some women quit right away because of that. They're like, it was so painful, I couldn't take it, right? So that does happen, but I encourage moms that it does get better, and your body, your nipples get more kind of like toughened up, you know, and they get used to all that being on your nipple all the time, and that sucking can be sometimes with those first few days, you're like a human pacifier.
And we need to take a break, but maybe after that we could talk a little bit about preparing. Is there a way to kind of toughen your nipples up a little bit beforehand, or preparing them for the breastfeeding that is to come? You're listening to The Faith-Filled Physician. We have Father Ryan McCarthy. He's a chaplain for Catholic Medical Association. He's also a doctor of moral theology. We have Lisa Leahy, nurse and professional lactation consultant. We also have Michelle Fainley and Carissa Vanderholst, a mother of twins and a mother of five children. We need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
People that just need to hear the truth of God, that need to hear the Jesus message. It has really impacted me. It's what I needed to hear right now.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Hi, I'm Mark Tuttle, one of the hosts of Catholic Radio Indy's The Catholic Cave. You know, there is a living, breathing Catholic philosophy that helps to guide the church with a rich history reaching from the early church fathers to St. Thomas Aquinas to St. Pope John Paul II and beyond. Join us each Saturday and Sunday morning at 11 for the Catholic Cave as Timothy O'Donnell and I apply Catholic philosophy to the issues of our modern world. For almost 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has pointed the way towards salvation through Jesus Christ. For each of us, that journey starts in darkness as if in a cave. We invite you to come with us as we seek wisdom and truth by way of faith and reason on the Catholic Cave, Saturday and Sunday mornings at 11, right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Heal and reign.
You're listening to an encore presentation of The Faith-Filled Physician on Catholic Radio Indy. We are not taking calls at this time.
All right, we are back with The Faith-Filled Physician here on Catholic Radio. And I want to remind you that you hear this program the first Thursday of every month at 4 o'clock right here on Catholic Radio Indy at 89.1 FM and 90.9 FM and the brand new 98.3 in Anderson. I want to welcome any new listeners that we might have in Anderson. This might be the first time that you're hearing this particular program.
You know, Lisa, it's been 20 years since I had a child, but I know there are lots of new methods out there and lots of new information on sore nipples and getting them, and that it's almost a given for most young moms. Where would you suggest we get more information, or do you have a suggestion?
Yeah, sure. I think that there is a difference between maybe the tenderness and that mom's experience kind of getting accustomed to breastfeeding compared to, you know, a truly wounded nipple that is having a hard time healing. And that really needs detailed advice. So calling a lactation consultant, someone like me in private practice, or going to, you know, we have a Catholic, at the Catholic Center, there's a weekly drop-in group for moms to go. Most hospitals have a weekly support group where moms can get some extra help if they're past the hospital stage.
Is that one at the Catholic Center, just for our listeners who might be interested in dropping by?
Sure. Kathy McCoy and another, she's a nurse and lactation consultant, and another person run that group weekly. It's every Wednesday at the Catholic Center, 1410 North Meridian, from 4:30 to 8.
Wonderful.
So that is a great place for reaching out to us. So, yeah, definitely, you know, there can be just multiple reasons why there might be soreness. Oftentimes we forget that there's another key player, and that's the baby. So sometimes the baby can have a tongue tie. That's one of the top reasons why we might see a really sore, wounded nipple, or one of the top reasons for low milk supply, actually.
Sure.
You mentioned key players. There's also another key player that Father mentioned during the break there, and that would be the dad. What role does the dad have in all of this?
Yeah, fathers are critical to the support. I think I read a research study once that when dads are on board with mom, she is 60% more likely to stick with breastfeeding. So their support is critical. And I think I am so humbled and amazed by young dads these days because they are so hands-on compared to maybe my father's generation. They want to be involved. So they are definitely encouraging mom. They're coming to our breastfeeding classes. They're encouraging her to get help. A lot of times they can help with the other aspects of newborn care. So, you know, bringing a baby to mom in the middle of the night, helping with diaper changes, baths, those sorts of things, other children. And a lot of times I just draw them into that circle to let them know, like, you're okay. You belong here. I need an extra set of hands. I'm going to show you how to help mom latch the baby on or how to tuck this pillow under her arm. And I really find that they do want to be hands-on. But a lot of that support comes with just humor. You know, this is a stressful time. So a lot of times if moms can have dad's sense of humor and large shoulders to say, like, I had a tough day today. All I've been doing is sitting here in this chair nursing these babies all day long. If he comes in the door and's like, honey, what have you been doing all day? That's not going to go well.
Do guys still say that? Oh my goodness.
It happens.
So what are top three things a new father's never had children before should do to support his wife? And probably even more important, the top three things he should not
never do. Well, I'll tell you
in regards to breastfeeding.
Should never come through the door and say, what have you done all day? How about that?
Yeah, that goes up there.
Yeah,
that's sure up there. She has an endless supply of water.
Yes. Oh, that's good. Okay, so we got one on both sides. What do you think?
Attend the prenatal breastfeeding class with her. Talk about this. You know, that might be a question that you talk about as a young newlyweds, or when you're taking your marriage prep classes. Oftentimes that's where family things come up. And so, you know, having just those open conversations about here's our goals, talking about, you know, just basic communication about the situation. And I think just having dads know that mom will need emotional support. Dads sometimes are scared by that, and that she will be overwhelmed. She will need his emotional support.
Yeah, I think that's good to say, because as easy and natural as you think breastfeeding is, sometimes there still is a technique to it, and still, you know, new moms still sometimes need a little bit of help. We did have a question that came in. It was asking on the phone, Father, the question is, Father, could you speak to mothers who breastfeed and burn out? Is it objectively best for them to stop? If it isn't, wonderful, almost postpartum depression type, is it okay to stop if the mom needs that time?
Yes. I mean, in fact, that's kind of what I was implying earlier, that in the end, breastfeeding's a great thing. It's cheaper than formula. It's oftentimes easier than formula, but it's also leans heavily on mothers. I mean, that's why it's important to have the support of husbands, but also there's a very limited amount a husband can do. He can't breastfeed, straight up. You can't do that. Have to explore deep into theology of the body why that's not possible, but it's just not the way God designed men to do it. And so a lot of this weight falls on women, and, you know, there's a great expression from St. Alphonsus of Gori, which is that we should worry about nothing except sin. And so it is better to never breastfeed a baby than to commit even one venial sin because you were breastfeeding your baby. So if you're starting to despair, if you're starting to neglect other things in your life, if you're starting to get depressed and can't deal with things, and breastfeeding is making that more complicated, and so you're falling into things that can be moral evil, yeah, it's far better to stop breastfeeding and not be depressed and be present to your children and your husband and your wife. And anyone who's intelligent can tell you, yeah, you need to stop and don't feel guilty about it, because you're making the choice that is actually best for your children, best for your husband, best for your family, and best for yourself.
You know, I wonder if we could touch just a little bit. We just have a few minutes left. Adoption. So for mothers who are in the process of adopting, is it possible for them to breastfeed their child?
It is. I'll let the lactation consultants tell the details.
It definitely is. Oh, that's hard in 3 minutes to explain all the details. They definitely want to be working closely with somebody who has experience on how to induce lactation. So oftentimes, if mom knows that her baby's coming, we can help her with a pumping routine to pull her milk in. There are certain herbals and what we call galactologs that we would use to help her milk be abundant before her baby gets there. We have what we call a supplementer tube to use at the breast that tapes to the breast to give baby the pumped milk until her breasts are more abundant. And that often entices the baby to do that, the breastfeeding. So there are a lot of options there, but mom really needs a lot of detailed guidance.
Right. So the sucking motion of the baby really actually encourages milk development, is what you're saying, bringing the milk in.
That's correct.
Oh, how wonderful. Okay. We've had a wonderful faith-filled physician today. I've loved all the questions. And the great discussion we've had, Father Ryan McCarthy, chaplain for the Catholic Medical Association.
Just another little reminder to anyone interested in the White Mass, it'll be a great time with the Archbishop and a wonderful reception afterwards.
And that is September 28th?
September 28th, Thursday.
Okay, Thursday at, did you say 5 o'clock? When does Mass start?
I believe it starts at 6.
6 o'clock. Okay. Lisa Leahy, nurse and professional lactation consultant. Also, Michelle Fainley was on the phone with us.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you for having me.
God bless you. God bless you, Carissa Vanderholtz, a mother of 5 and twin babies that she is breastfeeding. God bless you. God bless you. Father, we have a little bit less than a minute left, I think. Would you like to offer something before you offer a final blessing?
Sure. Just the same thing I say to married couples, I say to new couples with children. You know, in all these things, don't be afraid to ask for help. No one figured these things out from the beginning on their own, and help is always around. And so look for the places where you can find help. You can find lactation consultants. There's obviously the thing at the Catholic Center. There's Catholic Medical Association with a lot of good Catholic doctors that can point you in the right direction for this or any other health problems you might be struggling with if it is a difficulty. And those are wonderful things, and we're here to help one another and bring glory and honor to God.
Okay, and Father, could you close us out with a blessing?
Sure. Through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the angels and saints, may God bless it and keep you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
This has been an encore presentation of The Faith-Filled Physician, a live call-in program presented on the first Thursday of each month on Catholic Radio Indy. Replays of this program are available in podcast form at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the programming tab and go to podcasts of local programs.